Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Why did the Vedalla call this the Mad Planet?
Means nothing. I can tell the way. That way.
Are you certain, human?
For sure, Birdman. I can't get lost. I can't be fooled about directions. That's why I'm here.
The Vedalla would not have chosen Lara if her abilities were less than perfect.
Agreed, but we're forced to travel on the ground. I want an overview.
I will scout overhead.
You ever chewed on a sugar cane? That shit's actually pretty good.
I have, actually.
Have you ever worked on a sugar cane plantation for one of the three corporate warlords that doesn't pay you in cash and instead pays you in vouchers for the company store? Yeah. Have you ever done that, Dan?
I don't think there's any funny answer I can give. Like, say, no, that's not so funny. Or I can say, like, yeah, I have, actually. It's like, no, you haven't. That's not funny either.
They pay you in, like, little bags
what
of
could
molasses.
I possibly say that's funny to that?
Well, I will say, Dan, part of the reason why I asked the question is that you've navigated us to
capitalism
to where it's funny.
It's funny, yeah.
You have indeed done
that. Metagamed it.
All right. I'm ready to start the podcast if you all are.
Let's do it.
This was quite an episode of Star Trek.
There's two episodes there, Jason.
Yeah, I know. But
do we want to start the thing?
The first one was something, man.
Okay.
Do we want to start the thing?
What do you mean by the thing?
I'm doing the thing now.
No, this thing. This thing.
Oh, good. Yeah, the clock.
I am doing my
thing. I was wondering.
Dan's good man. Good
that's
person.
Why I was wondering, because I heard you were doing your thing, Jesse. Oh, so I was saying, person. Do we do the clock thing?
Yes. It's breaking the fourth wall there, but we have a clock. The
clock.
That we
it tells time.
We utilize to determine how long we've been recording.
Because we're pros.
It's a digital clock.
We're professionals.
Because Dan can't tell time.
Oh.
I think he can. I didn't know.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm already getting excited. All right. So, hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 182 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's a lot of episodes.
And what? Yes, it is. And what we will be discussing today.
What will we be discussing today?
It's a double header. Oh, I thought there was going to be...
Fascinating.
Okay, what exactly is about to happen? We forewent Dan's algorithm this week.
Because we're stupid.
No, because we were keen on doing something a little fun and silly with TAS. We like TAS. It's always fun to go talk about TAS.
It's something.
So we will return to Dan's bespoke algorithm, Dan's podcast topic selecting algorithm, next week.
But not this week.
But this week, we hand selected.
It too bad.
We hand selected these two episodes of TAS. Now, unlike a lot of the other stuff we've done, when we do TOS, we've just been going marching through from the first episode down to now.
We're almost done with it.
We are getting very close to having completed reviewing
it'll
every
be the first
single
series we've done
episode like of TAS. That. And I will note, as I've frequently done
we'll
in the past,
never run out of content.
That TAS, the animated series.
The antiquated series.
These are some of the most fun podcasts we ever do. I can't vouch.
I tell you true.
I can't vouch for this particular episode that you're listening to now because we are currently recording it. And I won't know if it's good until after we're done recording it. I can, however, say that all the previous ones we've done on TAS are awesome. So
I'm saying so. How do you find me?
So go check those out if you haven't already. We've done all of them up through today, which is now we're discussing the season finale of Star Trek TAS Season 1.
Yes.
Which is episode 16. Called the Jihad.
Yes.
The Jihad. And then the second episode we'll discuss is called The Pirates of Orion, which was the season premiere
so
of
they say
no.
Orion.
Season 2.
No. Yes. No.
It's not Pirates of Orion.
It's Orion.
No. Yes,
we'll get to that. All right. So I think we got through all the main
front Orion.
Front matter. Orion. Front matter stuff.
Like an Orion cookie.
Okay. Let's dive into The Jihad, which first aired on January 12th, 1974.
Ooh.
Written by Stephen Kandel, who is still alive. He's in
Wasn't
his
there a
90s.
Feinstein or a Weinstein?
That was the fellow who wrote these next episode. We're not talking about that episode, The Pirates of Orion, yet.
This was
Feinstein.
Orly Men. Orly Men, you know, in Faulty Towers, the Builders episode?
Yeah.
You Orly Men.
Fascinating. All
right. So, The Jihad.
This was a real He-Man episode. There was a lot of He-Man type characters.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of He-Man.
There was a lot of wacky critters.
Wacky critters and planets like doing some He-Man blowing up and and some kind of like flying birds going like, meow. Well, actually, no birds actually did that noise this time. But anyway.
I think this is maybe one of the craziest things I've ever seen in media.
Yeah.
In all of media.
In all of, when I was watching this episode, after about 5 minutes, I was 100% sincerely concerned that I might be having a stroke.
I didn't know what was going on.
Confusion, the mental confusion was like making me feel like I was experiencing aphasia or something. I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on and what these people are talking about. It's going so fast.
They dive right into it and like they don't even let you catch up.
We've spoken in the past about how sometimes TAS episodes feel like they've squeezed an hour-long episode into a 20-minute episode.
They usually have.
This feels like it was like a 5-minute episode that they squeezed in like 10 seconds or something. I don't know. There's something about this. I enjoy it. It's just, it was so nuts and so disconnected. The dialogue half the time didn't make any sense. I was like, what's going on here? Anyway.
Yeah, there was so they didn't even give us the names of all the characters because the wolf, clockwise from the top.
There was a cat person.
There was
a crooked cat.
It looked like a white tiger person to me because it was like basically a cat person.
The Vidala female.
Bent over.
I think it's credited as the Vidala.
Yeah, that's
female.
What I'm saying. Like we just refer to her as Vidala. We don't find her name. But then there's the superwoman who she even has a lasso.
You mean Lara?
Yeah, Lara. Who we origin unknown.
Who's played by Jane Webb.
Right, sure. Yeah. Origin unknown, but we're assuming
it talks like a 1920s Gal Friday
because
or 1940s.
They
maybe.
Couldn't get Majel Barrett or
I tell
Nichols.
You true.
So
they were both busy.
We don't know where she's from, but she has a human. They refer to her as a human, and like I said, she has the lasso and looks like Superwoman. Then there's of course Spock and Kirk. Then
there's that like worm guy.
Then there's M3.
Yeah, worm
the guy. M3 Green, who is by his own admission cowardly.
Well,
and he seems
a bit sad
too.
He's super whiny. He whines the whole episode.
His character blew my fucking mind.
You keep saying that.
Because he was all like, my people are cautious. What your people would call cowards.
Yeah, right. So this line.
I can handle the machine.
All I could think of was Elfo from Disenchantment.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's Elfo.
I can handle the machine.
It's voiced by David Gerald. I was just like, them, I don't know, the green fella. M was the other name they gave it, right?
M3 Green,
M. Spock at one point just refers to the person as M.
There was a lizard
dude. M3 Green. His name was Score.
But M,
Score?
M was
Score?
Voiced by
no, the
David.
The bird guy was a Score.
M was voiced by David Gerald, who worked on TOS and TAS. And he did the novelization of Encounter at Farpoint. He had some sort of fight with Gene Roddenberry and left TNG in the first season. And he's a big sci-fi guy, so it's just kind of interesting that he played a couple. He had a few of these little bit parts on Star Trek, including this green beetle monster creature. Thing.
Okay, the lizard man was named Sword, not with a W though, S O R D. But the, but
I tell you true.
I have sound effects too, Dan.
Oh no! What are we gonna do?
I only have musical sound effects.
And then we compliment each other. Nah. Then the lizard man was named Sword, but then T'Char
was it Sword?
I just fucking explained that. Just hear me out here.
Okay,
lizard man was Sword.
Sword
with no W
because I just wasn't clear on that. Okay, without a W.
And then the dragon prince Birdman
Nord, but with an S.
Char
was named Char, and that was a score. So there was a lizard man named
Yes.
There was
a Char with a score.
There was a lizard man named Sword and a bird man named Score.
No, a or bird no, man named Char.
No, oh my God. Okay,
he was a score.
Let me try this again.
Char was a score.
There was a lizard man named Score, and there was a bird man who was of type Score. Wait, like no, I just said Score twice.
It sounds like the beginning of a limerick.
Char was a score.
There was a lizard man named...
There was a lizard man named Score.
No. It was a lizard...
Whose mother was a...
Yes. That was you.
I there did that a, whole like stopping thing.
Yeah, you did.
You add the humor. You make the person right. think the thing.
So there's
the
a
horrible thing.
So there was a lizard man named Sword and a bird man of type Score. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
And a Vulcan named Spock.
I can't go any farther.
and the score seemed very similar to the Aurelians or the Aurori. Remember the Aurori from the Lower Decks episode, A Mathematically Perfect Redemption?
I remember that.
The Aurelians are on TAS. They look exactly like the score fella. And the Aurelians have been on Lower Decks, Prodigy, etc., like the bird people. And then there's
I'm Chaw.
Yeah, but he's a score and not an Areola. Or an aioli.
What?
Char is the master of the eerie.
Yeah, master of the eerie. Not, but it was like
bird eerie, not like Sleepy Hollow eerie.
It's like A-E.
Not like spooky ghost in Super Mario Brothers 3
eerie.
It's like A-E-R-I-E or something.
E-Y-R-I-E is an eerie, like where an eagle hangs out.
That's a different kind of, yeah, that's that
That's
one.
An eerie. That's what I'm talking about. Not E-E-R-I-E.
A-E-R.
E-Y-R-I-E, eerie. Okay, Dan's becoming raptured by the internet.
I know, this is quite...
Because I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? Did you type in E-Y-R-I-E? What'd you find?
So they
what you find?
So they spelled it E E R I E, but I think the closed captioning spelled it with an A.
Well, E E R I E is not correct because that's eerie as opposed to eerie.
Right. Well, I don't suspect that this the script was necessarily spelled how we would spell it.
It's got spelling.
But the closed caption spelled it A E R I E. I'm not saying that's right either. I'm just saying that's what it spelled.
Well, that's good to know because I didn't look at the closed caption.
That's how I would spell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, people do all sorts of strange things in their own time.
I believe you. So right, there was the
the lizard guy. So the lizard guy,
Sword,
who is like he's
there
got
was a lizard man named Sword.
I heard him.
Are we supposed to understand that he just has wacky lizard eyes, or are we supposed to understand that he's on an incredibly high dose of psychedelics?
Yeah,
because his pupils being as dilated as they were reminded me of nothing else, nothing more than somebody who is on an incredibly high dose of psychedelics.
We know people like that.
Maybe it's just because he was a lizard person. Maybe that's how lizards are.
Is that what LSD stands for?
Lizard. I'm not gonna play this game. I'm trying to come up with it's always stupid. Whenever
you play my game, coming up with words for letters.
For words for a game, it's called coming up with words for letters.
You want to play that game? It's like such a fun game. Though.
That's the best game, man.
Not if you don't got nothing funny.
Oh,
That's a fair point.
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
I don't have nothing funny.
I like the lizard guy probably the best of the whole bunch. He seemed like a good, solid, loyal fella. He wasn't obnoxious like the little green monster creature.
So yeah, there was
that thing. He was like, "I got nowhere to keep a medal anyway,"
which it didn't make sense because he is wearing a shirt. Yeah. He's not a naked lizard.
He was all like,
"This planet just gets on your nerves."
It's like this whole fucking.
And he's like, call Spock like Vulcan.
Let me go.
the whole planet got on his nerves. The entire planet. He actually meant it more.
It was a mad planet.
He actually meant it more literally, though, as in like his nerves were jumpy because he thought he was seeing shit. Not like I'm so pissed off, but he probably was pissed off too.
Well, he was on an incredibly high dose of psychedelics,
right?
So he was seeing all kinds of shit.
I like when Spock, Spock. First of all, when he flies out of the car, it looked like when you take your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or whatever kind of action figure you have, and you try to make it fly like fall
fall out of something. The limbs don't move. No. It's just the whole thing moves.
So
and so Spock like is on the ground, and then Kirk and Spock Spock's like, you should leave me behind, and Kirk's like, no, I won't leave
that
you behind.
Weird.
And except it was like super analytical. It wasn't all emotional. It's like, well, actually, I won't leave you behind this. And then this line that Sword said was an interesting sentence.
You two going to argue honors, or are we going to get on with it?
Gonna argue honors. I like that. I'd never thought to say something like that.
There's a lot of
well-spoken lizard.
There's a lot of great lines in this episode. I think there's a lot of great stuff in this episode, despite it being completely bonkers.
It's patchy, yeah.
It's very patchy. Jumps around. This whole Lara. It's like Lara's special ability is she can find any direction. Like, what does that mean? You're looking for something. Does she know where it is? There's no indication she knows where the thing is.
She can talk all sassy.
I guess you can just tell her. Oh yeah, and it's like, what's going on there? But the lizard guy, part of why I liked him is, yes, there's that honors line, and he also just sort of seems like a good solid go-to guy, you know. He's down to clown, you know what I'm saying? He's the kind of guy you want to go out with, because he'll be down for whatever you're getting into.
The wormy guy's all complaining.
I like this place. Yeah, it's got variety.
He's not as complaining as the other guy.
Well, yeah. And real quick,
I like when he picks up the other guy. The other guy also does kind of sees a stiff maneuver.
The part you're talking about with the car accident, they get into a car accident. Prior to that, what was kind of funny about this is that prior to that Spock flying out of the thing, the scene gets really intense. The animation is crazy. There's lava flying through the air and wind, and there's like the illusion of speed and danger and intensity. And then the thing goes over like a little rock. Spock just flies out of it, as you said, as a stiff dummy like
creature. Like, rover.
Yeah.
So their whole goal was to divert the lava by pushing
a giant bear of fucking boulders down.
Yeah, they were going to divert the lava by pushing a few boulders there that somehow dragged a bunch of boulders, but how that diverted
started landslides, I guess.
And then somehow that diverted the lava, and then
you know, and we haven't been fully clear. I mean, people are supposed to watch these episodes before listening to this podcast, but in case it's not clear, the episode starts with Spock and Kirk showing up at this planet being tasked to join this ragtag team of all these characters to find the soul of Skor.
And they were calling it the soul because
a religious artifact that apparently holds like a digital copy.
Yeah, they
of
made
this,
a copy of the brain or
of
something.
The brain of like a philosopher.
They call it a soul.
And it's like, all right.
It's some kind of ribbon.
Fucking intense.
It was an Indurite sculpture, which, according to the internet, Indurite is a smokeless powder made by treating gun cotton with nitrobenzene, which I imagine is not the same thing. But
nitrobenzene.
I don't fucking know. But yeah, so, and then, and it was these arms. So you had this, the Skor were these Birdman dragon people that had huge armies, and they made the armies. They basically fucked to make their armies bigger because they were talking about they bred these armies.
There's a lot of fuck talk in this
episode. Whenever they needed armies,
fornication.
They just had sex and created.
I'm saying so.
They had created babies just to go to
war. Laid
eggs.
Laid big old eggs.
And they could do it within like months. They could just breed entire armies like by doing this in a couple months. And
just to clarify, how much of this are you getting directly from the text, and how much of this is supposition on your part?
Well, they said that they bred giant armies.
No, I believe you. I'm just saying I can't quite recall.
Do you mean like they were literally breeding them?
I think he's right.
From their loins?
If that's the line.
It says in two...
Their armies sprang from
their
loins.
I was just so confused while watching this episode that there's a lot that I think I didn't get.
Okay. In two standard years, the existing Skor could breed an army of 200 billion warriors. So, yeah, I think they could get something
in
2 months.
I think that...
That's a lot of eggs, baby.
It's a fair supposition to make off of the information that's been provided.
There must be some kind of in-house breeding going on.
That's a big
too.
Old nest they got.
They have a bunch of heat lamp incubators.
So what their deal was is they were very this warlike group of people, and then their great leader came down and like made them peaceful. And now we're to assume that there's a sect of Skor of which Char belongs to
that to wants said sect.
that wants to go back to the old ways of violence.
Yes.
And thereby settle the score.
And so he's, score, settle the score. Yeah, settle the score with a score. And so, yeah, I guess they're going to, the plan is they've got, he wants to destroy the brain or something, but it somehow meant he kept having to trick people to come over to the, like, I don't understand why he kept luring people in to try to destroy the soul, and then he would attack them. Like, why did he keep sabotaging these plans?
Sabotage.
All right, we're going to get to the sabotage thing in a second. To respond to you, Dan, I agree with you. It's slightly puzzling, although I think it can be explained by the idea that this sect is not powerful enough to keep the theft of this artifact from being public, not only to the score, but to the wider people who, like, for whatever reason, this Vidala female person... they're clearly in a powerful position.
She didn't get much of a role. She should have had more of a role. That's the thing, is but they didn't put...
But the
episode didn't do much for her.
It implies that even the Federation is, in some sense, kowtowing to them. Right? Yeah. I mean, technically, they were invited. They didn't have to join, but they felt compelled to take this dangerous mission, which right at the beginning of the episode, Kirk is straight up like, Scotty, if we don't make it back... You got your orders.
So I'm guessing since they don't have a big enough army to destroy this soul, they keep sending...
Seven Nation army?
They keep sending... Although she did reference the seven gods. Lara did at one point. But
one of them prime numbers you're so fond of.
Yes, but let's stay...
We learned this last week, audience.
Yeah, listen to that episode.
For those of you skipping around...
Let's stay on topic.
The episode right before this 181.
Let's stay on topic, though.
It's a brief ad hoc segment called Let's Get to Know Dan.
Let's stay on topic, though.
Jesse called it TMI.
So my assumption is that while all these... this group of score weren't able to eradicate the soul or whatever. So I guess rescue parties kept getting sent over to grab the soul, and thus the score.
Exactly.
And then it's bad.
Their
these bad guys'
bet was to infiltrate,
just to keep fucking them up, basically, just to keep, because they killed off like two or three other parties. So all they can do is
murder.
So instead of ending it by like getting rid of the soul, they have to just keep like killing off the parties that try to recover the soul.
It was
soul.
Like a train of parties going after the soul,
right?
Like a
and
train.
So. A train.
A train for the soul.
So, yeah, there was the whole part about they had to divert the lava. Wait, hold on a second. It goes like a little something like this.
We might be able to divert the lava flow with a barricade.
Oh, wow. Maybe that lava could have done a better job.
Divert the lava. Divert the lava.
Maybe that lava.
Divert the lava.
Maybe that lava.
Divert the lava.
Maybe that lava.
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 Lava. Maybe that lava could have done a better job.
For the uninitiated,
lava.
Dan has spliced in a clip from that classic film from 1994, Pulp Fiction.
Maybe that lava could have done a better job.
Quentin Tarantino's second film and what really put him on the map after Reservoir Dogs.
Divert the lava.
Maybe that lava.
Which includes a scene in which John Travolta's character, Vincent, accidentally shoots the head, blows the brains out of one of their compatriots, and then has to wash his hands and is complaining that he's having trouble getting the bits of brain and blood out of his hands because the fella does not have lava soap, which is a type of soap that I believe has pumice stone in it, ground up in it, in order to help it be more clean.
That's why they call it.
Or help it clean better. And it's a commonly used soap, at least in the United States, used by all manner of folk who get into all sorts of dirty, sticky business.
Dirty, sticky business.
So that's just a little bit of context for the previous segment.
Fascinating.
You know what, that line was right after she was like, she goes,
I tell you true, I find you an attractive man.
So maybe it was right after she directly propositioned
him.
She
was like, I'm saying so.
She was like, what was she saying? She goes like, she said something about I'm saying so. She goes,
I tell you true.
There's that one. Let me see what Well, I'm looking for this. I don't know where everyone else went. I found you. Oh yeah, this is where
I have a page of paper.
About Jesse, or are you talking about me?
I'm talking about me. I says I find you an attractive man. If we were together, the trip would be easier. And if anything happened, we'd have some green memories. Oh, and then Kirk was like,
Are they talking about doing acid?
No,
because the lizard's doing acid.
Absinthe.
And then she's talking about the trip being better if we were together, and then we'll have some green memories.
Well,
and saying you're gonna have green memories is a thing you say when you're tripping balls.
I think it was set up a joke setup that was.
I'm gonna have some green memories.
I think it was.
Dude.
I think it was a joke setup because Kirk was already have a lot of green memories, referring to like the classic Kirk and the green alien situation. You know how Kirk's always having
that. Doesn't make any sense.
I think that's a reference.
That that's what the joke is.
It has to be
green memories because Lara's not green. Why would she be referring to?
Well, I don't know. That's why it was poorly set up.
No, this is an insane episode. It's an insane episode. Green memories is some sort of hippie nonsense. And they're all on drugs.
It was this the 70s,
a metaphor.
Man.
This is a metaphor for doing a bunch of crazy acid.
74.
And then volcanoes and shit go off around you and you get attacked by robots from the sky.
There's wacky weather.
And bird people sabotage your activities and you try to fuck your shit up. This is a parable for being high on acid. Not even shrooms. Specifically LSD acid.
Well, turns out I was about the fascinating rhyme.
LSD, deoxyribonucleic acid.
Mm-hmm. This line actually...
Fascinating.
This line comes after, and Jesse was right. It's after she goes like, come on, we find a man attractive. Come, we find a man attractive. Every say
yes.
So.
I'm saying so.
How do you find me? And that's when he says fascinating. So you're right. At one point she says, I tell you, but the other one, this one, it was, she says, I'm saying so.
I know.
Hey there, honey, I'm saying so.
She had a very distinct way of speaking.
Who talks like this? Isn't there a famous actor who talked like that? I swear there was like one particular actor.
Well, it does.
Like it wasn't like one of the Hepburns, was it? Or
it when it evokes
kind
of one of the Hepburns.
I don't know.
It evokes sort of your late 1930s, early 1940s film noir.
Right.
Remember, scouting's my job.
Yes, scouting's my job.
Oh, this here it is. I do have it.
I'm saying so. How do you find me?
Fascinating.
There we go.
So. Again, in the constraints of this episode, this just comes off as insane that this woman is throwing herself at Kirk, and it's a children's television show.
She's straight up.
I don't know if you have the recording, but at one point she says, "Let's go fuck." She's like,
"Did you pull that clip?"
She's like, "How about you and I go?" Fuck!
I didn't think that one was that significant, but now that you mention it,
yeah,
I should have pulled it.
It's unusual for a kids' show.
Yeah, you're right. I don't
How
know
about
why
you go behind that rock and fuck.
People's parents.
We can let the lizard watch.
They weren't paying attention in the 70s. People's parents. That's why kids were going wild.
Yeah, that's how you got away with things like 3-2-1 contact.
Kids
or
were
the electric company.
Contact 3-2-1 contact.
Cold-blooded critters, all of them.
What do you think was the
that's
deal?
What she's
though?
Called
okay, so do you? What do you? What was going on with the writers in characterizing this woman throwing herself at Kirk? Because I couldn't tell. Like, let's imagine you stretch out the story.
A bit of a precedent.
Well, she's
yeah,
got...
but like, even with the precedent, is like, was she trying to scam him? Was it like, because in a longer episode, it would have been like there would have been something going on.
I think that was just their way of expressing a confident, powerful woman.
Okay, maybe
to be assertive sexually and just be like, I don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah, but it's weird because she keeps like harping on it, and then like Kirk is like, no, because I'm hanging out with my boy Spock over here. It was just very funny because, like, Kirk does some flirting in the next episode, doesn't he? Or is it that episode?
Not in the next episode. No, the next episode is about more He-Man characters, except it's just the Oriens. They look like He-Man people.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
Remember, scouting's my job.
In this episode, Kirk makes a reference to null gravity combat exercises.
Okay.
Has to be flirty code for like, hey, Spock, remember when we were like canoodling last week?
Canoodling.
Remember like how like we did some moves? Let's do some moves on these aliens.
Let's do some moves.
It was like, because I mean, there's no other way to make sense of that because Spock is all like, Kirk is all like, hey, Spock, when was the last time you did your null gravity combat training? Spock was like, last week with you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So that's why I think you provide a good spin on the situation because none of it made sense to me because the way I took it, which doesn't make sense, but which seems to be what they're implying, is that Kirk was double checking to make sure Spock was ready to go flying through the air. But like, you know, it's like, Spock, when's the last time you done this? But Spock's like, we did it last week. Like, what the fuck?
It doesn't
you don't
make
remember?
Any sense.
And so,
unless they made love.
And so that, and so, and like, how would Kirk not remember that?
And he was just being cute.
And let's say it was more recent than last week. It wouldn't matter. A week is recent enough. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's out of practice. No. I think it was a line for the audience just to let the audience know that that's what they're doing now. There was a couple, but I do think that I do like your fucking
theory. I think it was
theory.
A line for the audience to say, like, the reason Kirk is not having sex with this this Lara lady who's dressed like a cavewoman for some reason is because he's not interested, because he's currently under the loving care of...
I don't think that's really his type.
His Vulcan friend Spock.
You're right, because like, they did have the scene where they were very logically telling each other that they couldn't leave each other, or Spock was like, leave me, and Kirk was like, no, I won't leave you. But they were being all like, we need you on the ship because you're smart. And he's like, Captain, we want to make sure that... But they were really like...
All of the stuff that happens with Kirk and Spock in this episode, like you just described, if that was it, that would play as good friendship. It's the adding the hypersexual alien lady,
right. Yeah,
and
weird.
Kirk rebuffing her advances that to me is like what makes it, it turns it into something else.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, what's going on here? I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm all for it.
I think it's kind of, I mean, to me, that's who knows what the actual intended interpretation was, but it's sort of the only thing that helps make any semblance of sense of this episode.
And I guess Kirk and Spock never get together.
Too bad.
My bet is that they do get together.
Oh.
Let me go.
I will tell you true. Well, I will also tell the audience that we are running right up against a break here, but we will be back in just a moment to finish up our discussion of the jihad. Be right back. I need smoother faders.
Smoother faders! Could you pot it up a little bit? Could you pot it up? Hey, man, can you pot that up?
Those flying beasts that
hold
were
on. I'm gonna pee for a second.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. We're still on break.
Still on break.
What? Why didn't you think of that earlier, Mr. P-Man? My name is Jesse Knight. Look at my butt. I've got a butt. My name is Jesse Knight. My name is Jesse Knight. Look at my butt. My butt is Jesse Knight is my butt. Butt.
But but.
Look at my butt, I'm Jesse Knight. Look at my butt, I'm Jesse Knight. Look at my.
Hey everybody, we're back. We're back.
We'll find you an attractive man. Remember, scouting's my job.
Scouting is her
Scouting.
Job.
Scouting's my
Scouting
job.
Is her job. Welcome back. Welcome back to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, in which we are concluding our discussion of the jihad. And then
it was
moving into our discussion of the pirates of Orihan.
I was going to say that they use the same flying beasts that are in another couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, what I'm saying. It was a total He-Man. Like, because those are the types of episodes where like the planet's exploding and there's
He-Man
monsters.
He-Man was Filmation as well.
Yeah, totally was. So that planet.
Touch my lobster.
So there was some. So
was Fat Albert.
So this jihad was basically.
I'm going to sing a song for you.
So this was basically a galactic jihad is what was going on here. They were on a mad planet, geologically unstable, constant earthquakes, gravitic. Why is gravitic shifts?
Gravitic,
okay.
Like gravity.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Of and or related
right.
to
I would have
gravity.
Thought, I thought of, would have thought gravimetric, but gravitic, I'm sure.
Gravimetric is the more modern term, and by modern, I mean 1980s.
TNG.
With TNG.
Tidal waves, the temperature varies from 20 Kelvin to 204 above. So that's a pretty. That's
20
pretty
Kelvin's
low.
Pretty low.
And
when zero is supposed to be.
200
when,
isn't that much.
Zero is when all molecules stop movement entirely. So
not
that's
just
pretty
all
cool.
molecules, all the even sub bits.
Well,
pretty much.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I feel you.
Well, I mean, isn't a mo? What is? How would you define molecule?
Well, you got your atoms. You got your atoms that are
well,
made
no, no,
up
no,
of
I'm
constituent
saying,
components.
It's a group of atoms bonded together. So that's
yes,
how
well,
you
that's
define
what
a
molecule
is.
Is. Yeah.
Right. I'm just trying to define it.
Okay.
I'm just reading.
Right.
I was just reading the definition.
Hey, buddy. That's all good. I'm down with that.
The lowest resolution of part.
How do you define
all this? All common minimum denominator. The lowest. You know,
lowest common denominator.
The lowest
constituent.
What's there's a
component?
Name? There's a name for that thing that's supposed to be the smallest bit of thing.
It's
that
called
you,
an atom.
No, it's not an atom. It's not.
I mean,
an,
it was that the no, Greeks, but, the Greek term atom.
Okay,
was
no, but I'm saying
indivisible.
No, but I'm
is
saying
the,
that's
is
not
the unit that is
yes,
indivisible.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's some term now for it. They have an actual name.
Well, there's
for
the Planck
it.
Length, but that's not quark. A. That's just a length.
Well,
that's
okay,
not
the,
a thing.
Okay, so that's the Planck length is base. But when I by thing I meant like you know either abstract or
got your strings and strings. string theory, all those things in the bits are vibrating springs. Yeah, strings.
They're not convinced.
They're all like wiggling.
They're not convinced string theory is really that accurate.
Yeah, mathematically it works, but experimentally, what are you going to do? I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Granted, I am not a string theorist.
Nobody knows.
Nor am I a physicist.
Look, that's what I was referring to as the Planck length. I know it's that's what I meant as the smallest measurement of things.
Yes, Planck length. Planck length.
I couldn't remember what it was called.
And this is where we avoid making any jokes about genitalia, because it would be silly. And even below...
It never entered my mind.
Even below the standard...
This planet just gets on your nerves. I heard him.
Indeed it does. All right, other things about this episode.
I like this line.
He's turned on a gravity neutralizer in the building.
that sounds like Luke Skywalker would be like, I was supposed to go into Kashi for a power converters.
You're right, and it's before that.
Oh, wait, I wanted to play something real quick. So here's the Alpha line.
I can handle the machine.
Now let's hear this. Wait, I didn't preview this.
Oh, hi, I'm Elfo.
Yeah.
You are?
Busy. We're at war here.
What's
I
war?
Can handle the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a good call.
I can handle the machine.
Sounds like Elfo.
From Matt Groening's Disenchantment.
Yeah.
Available on Netflix, at least in the United States.
I hope we don't get flagged for that. Maybe the tune will catch them. Maybe you gotta get rid of the flute tune.
Nah, they're not going to care about that.
No.
I promise you. The line I liked, I don't know if you cut a clip of it, Dan. When I was watching this, I was thinking, I was like, how is Dan going to pick which lines to pick? Because
there were so many good ones.
I was about to say I almost called you up. That's of course not true. It would be insane for me to call you on the phone.
You wouldn't call me. You text me.
Yes, I would like text you, but like I almost texted you. I almost contacted you. We'll be neutral about it. Neutral about the mechanism of conveyance of the message. I almost contacted you to say, like, should we just play the whole episode?
Yeah, I know,
should
right?
we just take the copyright hit and just talk over the episode? Because every single fucking line is funny in this episode.
And they're all very pullable because the lines, there's no background ambiance noise for much of the lines.
And
only
they clearly recorded them all individually, hidden in some closet in the span of 5 minutes, just like saying through the lines very staccato. But the line where Shatner at the end is all like, we have a lot of other places to go.
Yeah, what was that?
He's like, can we finish up here? He's like, don't worry about it. Everything's resolved. And then he raises his voice and he's all like, we have a lot of other places to go.
Yeah.
It's like the most inarticulate way to convey the exploratory theme of Star Trek. So we've got a lot of other places to go, motherfucker.
A park in Botswana.
Yes.
Yeah. So how long are we gone? Long? About 2 minutes, I guess. I don't understand.
Yeah.
The Vedala changed their minds. The danger is past. Back to your stations. We have a lot of other places to go. Yeah. That's
everybody
how the
back.
Episode ends.
Everybody
the
back
episode
to work.
Ends like that.
Yeah, it's almost like he's gotten mad at Sulu, I guess it was, right?
What do you mean it was only 2 minutes?
Yeah, they were doing that whole thing.
We got a lot of places to go.
Fuck you guys. We're getting back to work.
There was a line about, first of all, it was confusing because they went into that temple and they immediately go, we can't climb up this shit. There's nothing to climb on, not without instruments. But they immediately find,
as it turns out,
they find a little ledge to climb up on. And
except for the lizard fella who's so high on acid that when he looked up there, he was like, oh no,
yeah, so
that's too crazy.
I took that to mean
my lizard hands can't crawl up there. My lizard hands are rainbows.
Well, what I took it to mean is that they didn't have enough resources to animate such a thing, like a lizard with a tail. He had a tail, right?
Yeah, just sort of scuttling up.
Yeah, right. I don't think they could have. Done that, but
I'm wearing a shirt but no pants.
The planet is a natural trap, but that's not enough.
You suggest sabotage, Captain?
Sabotage.
There's another
the
one.
Last piece of sabotage.
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 I was gonna ask you, fellas. I was gonna
the
ask
last
you.
Piece of sabotage.
Based on
sabotage.
This episode, and indeed the next episode that we'll be talking about in just a couple minutes.
That one's got sabotage.
Do you think that after... Do you think?
Do you think?
Do you think?
Do you think?
Now, do you think?
Do you think?
Wait a minute.
You think?
Do you think? Do you think, young sir? Why don't you think? Do you think, young sir?
The problem was that you didn't think.
Sometimes you just can't think.
And do you think, young sir? Hello?
Okay. Do you think... It's turned into nonsense. It's a whole thing now.
Chief O'Brien?
Thank you.
This Dan guy's a real handful.
Do you think, sir?
Do you think?
Sir.
That.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I am Cha.
I'm sure you are.
Cha, 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 cha.
Do you think, Dan, or Jesse,
the Western space music.
It is. That's what I've labeled it.
Whoa, no kidding.
It's a kick and bass.
Do you think, that the writers purposefully started adding the word sabotage to every episode of TAS?
I hope so.
After Kirk said the first one, after he said sabotage, do you think they kept adding it? Because I think it's been in almost every episode since then.
It's like, we got to keep getting this guy to say that.
Sabotage.
This is cartoon gold.
Yeah.
Sabotage.
Star Trek gold.
Yeah. So,
well, you haven't responded.
I think
you played some sound clips, but you haven't.
Yes,
you haven't.
That's my response.
All
right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like. The Vidal's best parts in this episode were. And then I agree because the next episode does also have.
It
such
has
a thing.
It in the episode. Next
so
episode, yeah.
Vidal's only role was these two. Her two best lines was this.
Is there any clue to its location?
Oh, a mad planet.
Whoa!
What are you doing? What's happening there?
Did you
play both at the same,
I guess
two
I
at
played,
the same time?
I guess I played two at the same time because it wasn't responding, so I clicked again and it just played them both. Okay.
You know what they say about guys with big beefy fingers?
They're not me.
Must be hard to pick your nose.
My brain split in half.
Okay, so let's try. This is one line from Vidala.
Is there any clue to its location?
A mad planet.
She just roars out of nowhere. And then
I love the roaring out of nowhere. And then absolutely.
And then it happens again here.
But he will also be sane and whole again.
Mm-hmm. I love it. She's just this out of place roar.
Some kind of weird like hand movement where she sort of like straightens out or something.
Yeah.
Like she's all crooked.
Yeah.
Hunched over. She's a weird critter.
All of this is crazy.
This is the wackest fucking Star Trek, man.
It is. And it's one of the reasons.
Cold blooded critters, all of them.
It's the 70s, man.
It's 70s. One reason why I always try to get folks to
remember,
listen,
scouting's
to watch,
my job.
To watch the animated series because it's so bizarre. And first of all, some of the episodes, you know, like Far Beyond the Stars or Yesteryear's, not Far Beyond the Stars, Yesteryear, what was that, the Beyond the big boom, bing bong boom?
I tell you true.
Yes, you do.
The Beyond the Big Bone?
Yes, that famous episode of TAS, Beyond the Big Bone.
big Spock.
Big Spock, that's a good episode.
Spock.
There are excellent episodes of Star Trek on TAS. There are excellent Star Trek stories, important lore, and then there's just total insanity. And this is the season finale is the premier example of how batshit TAS can get in terms of the storytelling and the production and the writing and squishing stuff together in low budget. And
they diverted the lava. They diverted
with boulders.
Some lava.
But I was going to say that the line you just played, Dan, where the Vidala.
I tell you true.
No, not that one. Where the Vidala lady, before she roars, but you know, she's all like, he will be cured of his madness or whatever. I was like, I think you got to cure the production team who worked on this of their madness, because like
it was a long season.
It was crazy.
You gotta give those boys some help.
And it was the last episode, the 16th episode of the first season. Maybe Hal Sutherland had lost it at that point, because preview for the next episode, he directed all 16 of the first season episodes. He did not direct the season premiere of season two. Maybe Hal Sutherland needed a break.
Spock was kind of a smart ass here. There was one where he was like, we'll all die here, as M3 says. Spock's like, a statistical probability, which is first, you know. And then Laura's like, you ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan? And then Spock's like, yes, but philosophy and poetry aren't appropriate here. Was he being a smartass? I think he was being a smartass.
Yeah.
And then there's the other
classic
one.
Classic sort of Spock. Then,
and you see that more on like Strange New Worlds. You get some of the more sassy Spock.
You get more sassy Spock. Earlier on,
Spock was sassy too.
Earlier in the episode, he goes like, I have checked the supplies, Captain, as expected. They're adequate. And there are weapons. And Kirk's like, against what? There's no life on this planet. And then Spock's like, but there is, Captain.
ourselves.
Oh.
And then he's also like, plus there might be other things that are guarding the building. And of course they encounter the robots later. They don't look like robots. They look like the bird creatures from four or five previous episodes.
Yeah.
But in this case, they're robots. They've been robots before, by the way, if I recall correctly.
They have.
Sometimes they're robots, sometimes they're lizard monsters. They're always animated, flying in at the exact same angle. they're the exact same color. Anything else
by
to say about
I should be doing it alone.
The jihad before we move along to episodes. The Pirates of Orion.
You're doing a thing.
You want to go to the next episode?
You're doing a thing there, buddy.
I'm saying episode? So.
All right. I've officially declared that we have now moved along home to the Pirates of Orion.
Orion. There's already Orions. Why are there new Orions that aren't called Orions?
So I think before we get into the meat of this boring episode.
This episode was fucking boring.
Before we get into the
there were some more thoughtful moments put into it.
This was a properly structured story. And everything fit together in a literary sense.
And whether or not it's bullshit or not, I like the whole, humans have the iron blood and Vulcans have the copper blood. Yeah, and that's why I don't care if it's bullshit. It sounded cool. That was thoughtful.
This was a well-crafted boring story, but before we get to that,
there was a lot of time wasted.
Yeah, before we get to that, some context and background because it's just necessary. All right,
necessary.
So the Pirates of Orion.
Do you like Jesse? Do you like strawberries or raspberries? Raspberries.
I like blueberries.
You like raspberries? Raspberries.
I don't know what those are.
He's referring to raspberries.
I will not eat them.
By emphasizing the fact that raspberry is pronounced with a largely silent P.
Raspberries.
Berry.
What about
they're a raspberry?
Do you like some?
They mimic a rasp. You know the woodworking tool. The pattern of a raspberry is similar to the pattern of a rasp. That's a supposition on my part. I have not confirmed that etymology of the term raspberry. You know what a rasp
is? It's more like a suppository.
A woodworking tool. No, I think it's important, whatever we do tonight, I think it's important that we do not conflate suppositories with rasps.
Yes.
Okay. That is important. Jesse, do you dip your raspberries in mayonnaise? Do you dip your raspberries in mayonnaise?
No, I do not.
Okay,
now I'm ready.
So this is what happens when you watch an episode like The Jihad. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It makes everything all goofy.
Your mind goes.
But following this episode, following The Jihad with this one, like this seemed positively slow moving.
Absolutely.
Yes, boring.
And that's just to provide a little context. There's a couple of weird things in this episode. These Orions that we encounter in this episode are indeed by all accounts intended to be the same Orions of the quote-unquote Orion Syndicate.
They are?
Because you had the Orions in Journey to Babel. You had in The Cage.
No,
and
these
a couple
are
other
Orions.
No, they are.
And they don't look like Orions.
Okay, this is why I'm trying to provide the context. Okay. Because
listen,
it's important for the well, it's actually not that important, but.
Well, it's important enough to shut me up.
No, it's not
intended
to shut
you
up.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, I should shut up and listen to you.
It's okay.
I'm not lobbing something at you. I'm trying to douse myself.
Ah. I think there was very clever wording on your part that allowed you to win that particular exchange.
Dan Glaubitz wins again.
Podcast.
Sometimes you gotta lose to win.
So that's just to clear up confusion, because I did all sorts of reading and I looked at Memory Alpha and a bunch of other articles and all this other stuff. And so here's what I could gather. What I gathered was, and you can gather this even from the text of the episode.
Gather raspberries.
They mentioned the Journey to Babel. They mentioned the Babel Conference, which is, Journey to Babel from TOS.
Babel.
And then, so these people are intended to be
Zerubbabel,
normal Orions. However, two things happened that made this confusing. Mm-hmm. Thing number one is apparently by mistake, whoever was animating it, there was some error or problem and they couldn't get their skin the right color green. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird pale blue. That's problem number one. Problem number two is all these lunatics keep referring to them as Orions.
Orion.
Orions.
Orions.
Orions. And I don't know why. And I want to guess. I couldn't find. Nobody has an answer for why. The best guess I could find is that, like, maybe Shatner just said it that way, and nobody wanted to, like, correct him, so they had to, like, just record
Orions
or, like, re-record all the other things.
Orion.
Yeah.
Holograms.
Yes.
Holograms.
Yes. Orions. Holograms.
Orion.
And he's
holograms.
He's saying it so, like, weird and sexy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Shatner, yeah, you can be sexy.
He's weird and sexy.
Back in
Orion.
The
holograms.
That guy was sexy too, the holograms. Guy.
But they also were wearing some kind of. I was saying this was a part He-Man episode, not full He-Man. This was actually very far from He-Man. Yeah. This was a very non-He-Man episode.
But except, they had the crazy helmets.
Yeah, they had some weird ass helmets
those
going
sort of,
on.
Like, yeah.
And what was going on with that fucking background? It was like some red and blue splotchiness.
Yes.
Like psychedelic. That was some crazy. To me, yeah. That was some psychedelic craziness. Yeah. That background they had in their.
It's
ship.
Because between the end of season one and season two, they decided to say instead of having our. On-screen characters be high on acid. Let's just make the show audience. Look cool for an audience who's on acid.
70s.
Mm-hmm. 70s indeed.
Orion's official neutrality.
Holograms?
Trying a new soundboard. It's kind of giving me a little, little lip.
Oh, yeah.
You can play sounds simultaneously. I can go like this.
Holograms?
Hologram. Holo generator.
And they
holograms.
Chief O'Brien.
They didn't recognize the Orions right away, and it was only Eric's that was. He was like, I know those guys. Those the Orions.
What was interesting?
Yeah,
also,
yeah. Eric's was about a couple lines in this
about this episode. Was you have
it looks funny too.
The Orion ship. Is that what it is? Orion. Orion.
Orions.
Orion. Because I keep wanting
Orion.
To say like,
double
stuffed
Orion.
Orion. Their ship looked pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other ship, the Huron?
Yes, it was the Huron.
Looked lame.
I was like, what the fuck
it
is going
O'Shea,
on with this?
Captain O'Shea.
Captain O'Shea?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
He was a nice guy. He seemed like a nice guy. It was a little weird somehow that he had a beard.
That's one of those like cargo ships.
It was a freighter.
Yeah.
It wasn't not to be mistaken with a frigate. It was a freighter.
No, not a frigate at all.
Oh, definitely not a frigate, Dan. Why would you even bring that up?
They sound similar to me.
Yeah.
To me. Therefore, you too. So I liked how the Huron, there was a part where they were doing evasive maneuvers, and that involved them going straight for a bit and then veering to the left so the pirate goes off the view screen to the right. But it catches up, so the pirate comes back onto the view screen
like
from
a
the
video,
right.
Video game where like,
goes
the pirate
to the left
can't,
again.
They can't actually damage you unless it's in your view screen.
Yeah, right. That's what it looked like. That's the end. That's what evasive maneuvers was that thing moving around left to right on the screen.
This
there
USS
was one,
Huron.
There was one cool shot, which was behind the Enterprise, and it was, I wish I had I actually do have it, Mark. 10 minutes and 30 seconds in. Ooh. There's a cool shot of the back of the Enterprise with the Huron going across it.
Oh, word. I think I know the one
panoramic
you're talking
style, or what's it called when it goes from left to right in videos?
Pan
know?
And scan.
No. When you were saying something moving across the screen, I guess you just call it moving across the screen.
That's the technical term.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure there's
that's
some
what
kind
Spielberg
of word like
be like have the shark move across the screen.
No, it's not called like panoramical horizon. Horizon.
It's
action?
Yeah. No, you got it. That's precisely what it's called.
Okay. Panoramical horizontal displacement. horizontal delta. Yeah, there was a shot from behind it, and then the thing was going. That was cool.
TAS, another reason to watch it, is often has some really good visuals. And that was true in the last episode, too, where some of the stuff is silly, but a lot of that, like, the weather and violence was pretty,
still looked nice.
Pretty cool to look at. And this episode, I agree,
lava,
Dan.
The lava looked cool. Yeah.
There's some cool stuff with the ships and stuff going on in this episode that's pretty rad. It's slightly marred by the fact that the Huron is just the most ugly ship they've ever designed. And one has to presume they wanted to make it clear. They'd be like, this is like just hauling
ship.
Garbage. This is just like a
dilithium.
This ship is just nothing.
You're not nothing if you're on the Huron.
And it just got stuff sticking out of it in all sorts of directions, which is perfectly fine because it's in space, but I don't know. I was offended by this.
You didn't like the Huron.
I didn't like
ship.
The Huron.
Do you think they reused that the Orion ship from somewhere of some other show? I don't know, because they said they'd never seen a ship like that. I wonder if there's been anything similar, because I find it hard to believe.
I
they
think
invented
it looks
it
similar. There
episode.
Was some other stuff within TAS
yeah,
that
probably.
I think he looked a little like it, but you know, I mean, a little bit different, a little bit.
A little bit.
Oh, jeepers, it looks a little bit different.
So,
you got a whole new ship on the animated series, and it's just great, and everyone's so happy about it. Quit your complaining, Dan.
The Huron has been left a space junk, its engines sabotaged.
Sabotage.
Yeah, precisely. Sabotage.
Did you hear there was one cool, there was a really awesome,
Arian.
There was like a really awesome bassoon part in the middle of the episode. Mm. It goes like,
that was really good. I like that.
Then there was an alarm.
That's upsetting.
That was freaking my cats out, actually.
Yeah. Well, and you played that sexy, calming bassoon business and then scared us with the alarm. I like it. Yeah. See? We're going to do the alarm again? We're going to relax.
The Huron has been left a space junk, its engines sabotaged.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Is this getting boring yet?
No, I dig it, man. I like it. It's a nice bassoon.
It might be boring.
Wait, play it again.
It might be boring, sounds like but a bass in a clarinet. Good way.
You think it's a bass clarinet?
Play it again.
I think you're right, Jesse. I suspect it's a bass clarinet.
I think that's a bass, because it doesn't have that extra round woodiness, the round hoodiness of...
Or even
I think you're right.
Or even
you're right, I thought it was a bassoon.
What does... which one is the bassoon? Like, is this... they're not having a bassoon.
That's a those are violins.
Yeah, no, I was trying to see if they have any...
That sounds like a French horn.
That's brass. There's something they
blasted Vulcan.
There's some other ones. There's some other music cues where they go pretty heavy, like either the bass clarinet or there might be a bassoon in there somewhere though. Mm. Well,
working.
we'll figure that out.
The problem with bassoon is it's such a quiet instrument.
Everyone always looks like they're about to explode when they play those instruments.
Yeah,
with their cheeks all being all like poofy puffs.
More modern sort of arrangements. A person might just tend to use a bass clarinet because you get more
oomph.
You get more oomph out of it. You get more range. It's just, well, maybe about the same.
More oomph for your
beta cannabis.
You get more dynamic range.
Beta cannabis.
So the
cannabis.
So this episode, they got choreocytosis is what they had, which is made up.
What was that all about? Oh, okay. It's going to be okay. Oh, we didn't think about this other guy who's a very prominent member of the crew.
Yeah, right.
It's highly dangerous to Vulcans. Oh, right, we have a Vulcan on board. Oh,
yeah,
it really seems like McCoy withheld this information on purpose.
What kind of fucking doctor is McCoy?
So, and it's bookended by at the end, McCoy straight up harassing Spock. He's like, Spock, there's no way you can deny it. He's like, Dr. McCoy. He's like, I've waited a long time for this, and you're not going to cheat me.
Yeah.
And then McCoy's like, Spock, that green blood of yours may have saved you before, but this time it almost did you, and you can't deny it. That sounds like some harassment to me.
If you pair that example of horrible racism with his previous example of horrible racism, where he's all like, I don't know if you have the line, but the line
is, I can't stand that pointy-eared encyclopedia.
Was it that one?
No, that was the charming, cute one. I was saying where he was all like, damn it, Spock, why can't you have like normal, like blood, like a normal human?
Yeah.
Like a normal human.
Wait.
Why couldn't you have red blood like any normal human?
See? What the fuck is that?
Vulcan.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What?
Normal blood look like a normal human. No, you're right. There's nothing charming about that.
I mean, I love McCoy, but the animated series is where he kind of comes off the worst in some ways, because remember that there was that one where they go to the vacation planet and he all like, his fantasy at the vacation planet is owning a plantation.
Oh, yeah.
And he's all like, this is great.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
It's the 70s. It's not the 60s anymore. Everybody like pulls back and gets all like reactionary.
We're all like, it is. Toss a little bit of racism.
Takes over a plantation.
Well, I mean, I know that, like...
I can't stand that pointy-eared encyclopedia.
I know that that's supposed to be endearing or whatever,
it's a term of endearment.
But it's also still makes me feel a little icky when I hear
it.
Well,
it's as Jesse said, a 1960s, 1970s term of endearment. We would probably not employ something quite like that today.
So, anyways, the humans have iron...
Using a physical characteristic, which is different than the majority... population.
You big ass son of a bitch.
You big ass. Jesse could be referring to either Dan or I.
So the humans have the iron
bearded son of a bitch.
The iron, jeez, god damn,
you straight nosed bastard.
I'm like the only guy that doesn't have a beard. Everybody else has
so
beards.
Fascinating.
Poor Dan. All right, Dan, please.
Everybody,
this is a boring episode. Fascinating. What are we supposed to do? This is a competently put together episode, but it's pretty boring.
Yeah. Well, I thought the humans having iron based blood was clever, and the Vulcans
and the copper.
Having copper.
Yeah. That was neat.
But then there was like strobilin. I don't think something about strobilin.
Okay. I don't think the copper blood thing is a new thing. I think that's a TOS invention. So
yeah, but
I'm just continuing.
But I'm just saying
cool.
It's cool.
I like it.
It's cool.
They come from a planet with nothing.
I like
that. And they have this Spock build. Up immunity, like there was some tension in like how fast
no,
they were
this
together.
Is a mature
it
episode.
It wasn't like which I brought up before a couple episodes where they're like one of them sick and McCoy's standing there and being like, oh my gosh, I hope he makes it through the next minute, and they're just sitting there while Kirk's going like, oh, I don't know. and then McCoy's like narrating him. He's like, okay, he's getting better. Wow, he made it. You know,
well,
and that's
in the ambergris element, right? When Kirk had gills, and they're
gills,
all like, I don't know, he might drown or he might,
right?
Like, it might be fine.
Right. So there was the timing was a little off on one part because so Kirk's all like, time to rendezvous, Mr. Eriks. And Eriks goes 1 hour, 43 minutes. Okay. Then Kirk says he wants more speed from Scotty. He's like, Scotty, give me some of that crystal meth. No, he wants Scotty to go faster. He doesn't want drug speed.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah, no, we got it.
Yeah, it's funny.
You may continue.
Kirk does not do drugs.
Yeah, nothing to say.
Kirk says no.
Finally, have nothing to say, eh? So Kirk wants him to increase speed. Now, why did they want him? He want him to increase speed because according to this, he had 20 more hours. It's in there. They still had another 20 hours before Spock really needed to get taken in. But so an hour and 43 minutes, 20 hours. I mean, that's. There's quite a lot of breathing room.
Accentuate. You know, why not? If you can go faster, go faster.
Yeah, but then why weren't they going faster before? The only reason I can think of is that for some reason going faster puts them in danger. Like
use up all them dilithium.
They didn't want to take away power from the deflectors or something like that to increase speed. But
or
they
the
can
sensors.
Do it now. Yeah, or the sensors. But they can do it now. I just thought it was it was just a weird request. That was all. I just thought, like, you got plenty of time. I understand you're getting antsy, but you obviously, if you haven't been going this fast before, it obviously costs you something negative to go this fast now. So why not just fucking wait another few minutes?
Do you say negative or do you say negative?
Negative.
Negative. You said negative.
Did I say negative?
I'm sorry. I'm just being goofy.
Did I even say negative?
I thought I heard you say negative.
Well, did I use that word spelled that way?
Negative.
Did I say negative or negative? No, I'm saying, did I use that word? What did I use that word in context with? Negative. What did I use that? I don't even remember using it. I'm not saying I didn't. I just don't remember it.
Gravitic distortions.
Jesse, I'm not trying to be like anything. I'm like asking you for real.
All right.
I thought you just said it.
You did.
Okay. Oh, maybe I did. No, I'm saying maybe I did. I was asking. I was
just
reaching.
To clarify, yes, you did just say it, Dan.
I was reaching a handout asking for help.
Jesse was merely commenting on your accent.
I know. But I got distracted by like not even remember saying the word at all.
We are all of that age.
And that's what threw me. Because then I was like, well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Did he actually say that? It's like, no, he did.
How about this? I recommend that we take the opportunity to take a break, and then we will return from the break, and then we can conclude our discussion of this episode this episode of Star Trek.
The Pirates.
Evasive maneuvers.
Of Orion.
Orion.
Or the Pirates of Orion. All right, we will be right back. Hey.
We're right back.
We are right back.
We came right back.
I put together a 20-second compilation if you want to hear it.
Ah, good. You're all about these 20 seconds. And what's interesting is given what we learned from you last week and your love of prime numbers, that are these truly 20 seconds or are they 19 seconds?
Well, they're around that. I don't care about time when it comes to time.
When it comes to time, you're
care.
Not you're prime.
That's ridiculous.
Prime and time.
That's too hard.
And sublime.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's too difficult.
It's too difficult. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, I'm prepared for your 20 seconds.
I was trying to think of something that rhymed with osmosis, but I couldn't think of anything. Yeah. So anyways, this was all the times they said Orion.
Snosmosis.
It's an Orion.
Orion. Orion.
Wait, actually, wait. Let me prep this instead.
Wait, oh no.
This is tells the story.
Give us this little tease.
This tells us the...
It's like, oh, it's going to be all the Orions.
This tells the story of the Orion plot.
The story on.
It's an Orion.
Orion. Orion's neutrality has been in dispute.
Orions are not thieves.
Enterprise to Orion vessel.
Orion's official neutrality.
Enterprise to Orion vessel.
All unsuccessful Orion missions end in suicide.
Orion's little game of neutrality and piracy is over.
I have the Orion vessel, sir.
The Orion crew is in our brig, Deneb 5.
That last part I cut the Deneb 5 in there. But now I made an even shorter one because I couldn't decide which I like better. So this is just them saying Orion.
Ah, so you're demonstrating your process here.
Yeah, this is half the speed. Or half the length, not half the speed.
No, half the speed comes next, I'm guessing. Right?
Yeah, right. I did do, like with the lava one, I did a bunch of... Okay, so this is about 10 seconds.
It's an Orion.
Orion. Orion's...
Orion.
Orion vessel.
Orion.
Orion vessel.
Orion.
Orion.
Orion vessels.
The Orion crew is in our brig... Deneb 5.
So isn't that fun? Wasn't that a fun thing? There's no joke. It's just a fun
thing. It was just fun. It was just pure fun.
Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We'll find out if this works.
How does it turn into music? Make it into music now.
Oh,
do it like right
thing.
Now.
Just right now?
Just push the buttons and make it into
it's
music.
It's already music.
I think I did that already with the hologram.
With the hologram, 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 hologram.
Hologram, 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 hologram.
Orion's.
Orion.
Gormagander.
Orion's.
Gormagander.
Orion.
Hologram. Holograms?
No, it's...
Chief O'Brien.
There's nothing left to it.
So
Chief O'Brien?
I think it's fine. They're finally getting old, I think. These.
Yeah,
these,
you gotta get some fresh ones. Squeeze out some fresh juice.
Not play these for a while. I think I've used them all
Squeeze out some fresh juice.
I did want to mention how Spock... So Spock, the whole thing about him... First of all, I'd never seen Spock in such pain before he collapsed that first time when he was at his view screen.
He squints his face?
Yeah, he squints his face. I'd never seen that face on Spock in TAS.
It's also inconsistent with the symptoms as described by McCoy, which describes sort of like a slow suffocation due to a lack of oxygen being transported around the body, and whereas Spock seemed to be just fine and then wince all like super mega Spock style wince and then just collapse.
Right, exactly. So that didn't fall. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. So, but when Spock goes into the room and they're talking about his sickness, Kirk's like, one other thing. I've cut your duty.
Get down with the sickness.
I've cut your duty time in half. I had to say duty because you know why.
Duty.
Because otherwise it sounds like duties.
Yeah. So one other thing.
Which is an American colloquial slang term for poops.
I've cut your duty time in half. And so Spock's all pissed off. He's like, Captain, that won't be necessary.
Necessary.
And he says, I'm quite able to. And McCoy's like, no argument, Spock. Doctor's orders. So Spock's being told to rest to save his life. And Spock's like, no, I don't need to do that. But then later...
And by the way, he's not even being told like to rest entirely. He's just like, your duty is cut in half.
Yes.
It's not like you're like not free of duty altogether.
Yes, exactly. And so now he's on duty. And then McCoy goes, tell Spock it's time for another shot. Then Kirk's like, Mr. Spock, Spock. And then Spock goes,
I was conserving energy.
So why, if Spock is conserving energy to prevent from dying, why doesn't he preserve energy by fucking taking a nap? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's conserving energy while he's working. It's obvious that he needs to conserve energy. He's admitting himself. Spock is admitting himself that conserving energy will make him live longer. So it doesn't make any fucking sense that he wouldn't fucking go take a nap. I know he's wanted to be all like, I can do whatever. But like, that's totally
Wait,
not.
Wait, do Vulcans sleep?
Yes. Okay. It's totally not logical for
DePaul was always wearing that nightgown.
Yeah. It's totally not. Weird with nightgown. The cutoff.
Yeah.
Midriffs.
Like that nightgown is insufficient for the task that is assigned.
So I was just saying it's totally illogical for Spock to be all like, on the one hand, be like, no, I don't want to work a much. But then while he's at work, lays on the job.
Are you
like,
calling Spock a moron?
I'm saying like, that's not logical, man. It's not logical. Like you're going to laze on the job. Just go home and take a nap. And if you're admitting that the more you rest, the longer
you
live.
Are you in like the logic? Police.
If you're gonna admit that the more you rest, the longer you live, then why don't you rest more?
I see.
And he admitted himself because he's conserving energy at work. He's slacking off at work.
He admitted himself.
He did. He was like, I was conserving energy. Oh, you mean you were fucking sleeping on the job?
He admitted himself.
Oh, as in like he's crazy?
No, I was just zoned out there. I was referencing I think you should leave with Tim Robinson's sketch with the elderly gentleman in the car focus group. And he wants the car that has a steering wheel
that does not fly off.
Blasted Vulcan.
Precisely.
So I'm just saying Spock should have taken it. He should have been in bed this whole time. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you that you have identified
Blasted Vulcan.
Something that's a little bit of a weird, inconsistent thing here. But it's not inconsistent in the sense that Spock, like many professionals and workaholics who want to come up with all manner of excuse to be able to keep doing what they're doing and deny that they are in some way.
But he admitted that he was conserving energy, and so he admitted it.
But that was also later on when he was getting sicker and the medicine wasn't
And he's
helping.
A Vulcan, so they should be more logical than that.
Yeah, but we know the deal with Vulcans.
Okay.
They're all liars.
Well, I mean, and I agree, that's probably what was going on, but like,
logic
it just didn't make any sense to me.
Well, again, it is a little trickier to convey that, if that was even the intention in these compressed story.
Do you remember when nothing exploded next to like the Enterprise? It was like some kind of shit just blew up out of nowhere, and they claimed after the fact that it was an asteroid blowing up. There was nothing blowing up.
Well, yeah, and then they showed the asteroid field, and they just looked like fuzzy, weird asteroids.
Yeah.
They explode upon impact with each other.
Yeah, so...
Even though the story is more mature and makes more sense, it is bore, despite the fact it was also kind of a boring, pretty standard tale, there's a couple things that don't entirely make sense. Like the motivation of this Orion pirate is a little confusing. It makes sense of them as pirates when we think of them as pirates.
So is
but they're like pretending not to be pirates, and they're all like acting all like whatever. And then they're all like, we commit suicide every time. Like our thing fails, and they're pretty quick to decide that it's failed.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Which is a little peculiar.
How do you survive like that?
So these Orions, is this something known about the Orions that they're all about, like, a neutral... They don't want their neutrality, like...
No, I think that's just in this
weird
episode.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
It was...
Effectively.
So it was kind of like... It was funny, because... They're in order to keep maintain peace and keep neutrality, they were going to murder a bunch of people. But in their defense,
so funny I forgot to laugh.
even though it's ridiculous, the idea of killing people in order to remain neutral, that seems like the opposite. In their defense, like we just mentioned, they were also willing to kill themselves too. So in a way, it is kind of them being neutral, because they're like, I won't just fucking kill you, because that's not very neutral. Yeah. I'll kill me too. And somehow that's neutral in their head. And yeah, that was...
Well, I think you're ascribing...
They just wanted to die.
I think you're ascribing a certain degree of honor to them that I don't think we're...
I don't think it was necessarily honor. I think it was just part... Like, they'd probably be... Or maybe it was part honor. But he said in the episode, like, Orions have to fucking kill themselves.
Orions. Yeah, I know he said that, but I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
I know it's crazy. That's why
it's silly.
Like, why?
It's goofy.
But, you know, I mean, it's not honor. It's not that he has honor. It's that's the rule of the Orions. Therefore, they're following the rule. Because if he didn't follow it, they'd probably torture him when he got home or something.
This episode.
Pinch.
It just lacks a little of that spark, because none of the stuff that really happens here is maintained in lore later. Spock is served as the outsider again, in the sense that he's the one who gets sick, and that's fine. It's not a particularly original plot point. But there's also, you know, there's some good stuff in it. I think the voice acting is a little bit better in this one than in some of the previous ones, where they really sound like they're phoning it in. There's some fun animation stuff. I did like the problem solving aspect, even though it's a little bit took him a little bit long to figure it out. But the whole like where McCoy's like, it's 4 days away.
Yeah.
Or like Kirk's like, it's 4 days away. And McCoy's like, but we need the medicine in 3 days.
Right. Yeah.
And for a kid's TV show, it's great. Because it's like, all right, when are you the captain of the starship and you a decorated medical officer? When are you guys going to figure out? The next part is where you're like, I know, we'll have somebody pick it up
right,
and come towards us as we go towards them. And that will be less time than if we just have to go to that place to get the strobilin.
Strobilin,
which is a silly name for a drug. That when I heard that, my first thought was like, strobilin is a silly name for a drug. But then I thought, all names for drugs are silly, because we have a drug that's named like aspirin.
Mm-hmm. Right? Aspirin.
Aspirin.
Put it in.
Yeah. Paracetamol, or as we Yanks like to call it, Tylenol. These are silly names.
How a Yank talks.
Yeah, Yankee talk. Yank.
Isn't that acetaminophen?
No, Yank is from the North.
Yeah, but no. For the rest of the world, a Yank is just from the U.S.
No, from the rest of the world. No, but for the rest of the world, we're all from California.
No.
Yeah, everyone's oh my God.
We may all be from California to the rest of the world, but the people in the United States
speak way faster than...
I know we're referred to
Yankees. We're East Coast.
Yeah, I don't think...
East Coast, so we talk fast.
I know. I was saying that before.
West Coast people
I'm just saying that when I think of Yank...
Hanging out,
When I think of Yank, I don't think...
Yank.
When I think of Yankee, you're just saying this because you don't want me to show why you're wrong.
I like being wrong, and I especially like being wrong when it results in you saying,
talking about the Yankees.
Talking about Yankee
when I think about Yankee, I...
Sorry. Please, go ahead.
I think of a Southern person. I don't think of a Southern person is what I mean. I don't think of a Southern person.
In the internal context, domestically, just for folks outside of the U.S. that are not aware, domestically within the U.S., Yankee would be specifically a Northern person and from probably specifically the Northeast.
Yeah, like New England.
Outside New of York. The U.S.
We should have a poll and ask Twitter and say, what kind of accent do you associate with the word that makes Patrick laugh right now?
What? The Yankee. Sorry, such a silly name. All right, sorry. Okay, well, back to business.
Yankee.
Star Trek.
They were following some radioactive residue around. We didn't really find out what the deal with that was, but that's just how they found him, and that doesn't matter. Kirk gave a pretty badass demand to the Orion captain, though. I'm not going to say the whole line, but it was basically like, Orion's neutrality has been in dispute ever since the affair regarding the blah, blah, blah. Yesterday, Federation freighter, blah, 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 as the first alien encountered, we require you to commit to a search as per Babel Resolution A12. Reply.
He was rattling off the regs.
He goes like, reply. Yeah. Like, that was badass. Yeah. Actually, that was the most exciting part of the episode is when he was like, Resolution A12, reply. That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
So are Yanks.
He was telling
So is yanking things. What can you think that can be yanked, Patrick? How about you, Jesse? No, oh, you're not in on that joke.
Oh.
Only Patrick's in on that joke. Jesse, what would you yank if given the chance?
Oh, there's all sorts of stuff. Like a curtain. You could yank on a curtain.
Yeah, you could yank on a curtain.
You could yank curtains open in the morning and have the light.
Steady as she goes, Sulu.
On the yank on a doorknob.
Yeah. Prepare to surrender your cargo or be destroyed. Please identify yourself and your purpose.
I forgot about that guy. It was so funny.
Jesse, would you yank a rope hanging from the ceiling until you were at the top of that rope?
No, that's I would climb it.
Oh. See, I would yank on the rope
if I want something to like fall out of the sky.
Like an anvil or a giant piano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or perhaps a load of ping pong balls.
Ping pong balls.
This is the most exciting part of the episode that we've
I am
so far.
Thoroughly enthralled by our discussion here.
Yeah, this was a boring episode. There's not much you can do with a boring episode.
Yeah, next week we're going to do some algorithm and talk about past tense or something.
Building up immunity. That was clever, right? Build up immunity to the thing. That was clever. You built up immunity.
I don't know about that.
Digging around, trying to find positive things.
When O'Shea's head was on the console, I don't know if you remember that scene after the pirates fucked him up or something. His head was on the console.
It was sabotage.
He was supposed to be all passed out, but it just kind of looked like he was really sad. But they said he required surgery, but didn't he just look like he was all sad? He was like, oh no, she just broke up with me.
Do you think that ship only has
sabotage.
Three people in it?
Well, yeah, it was weird. It was a big, goofy ship.
You don't need that many
people. I wanted to point out the whole surgery thing. It's unusual when they're like, he's going to need surgery. Normally, it's like, he needs some magic medicine or ray beam or something like that. It's like, no, that motherfucker, we got to cut that guy open and fix him. There is one thing that I do think that this, you know, this is a fairly banal episode overall. Mm-hmm. There is one thing, however, I think that it is an important contribution to the Star Trek lore. Unfortunately,
sabotage.
It's not very podcast friendly because it's an image, but I've sent you, both of you, the image. It's at the very end of the episode when Kirk makes this goofy ass weird face, which we might have seen.
Oh, yeah.
We might have seen one like before, maybe in one episode before something similar. I don't know if they're reusing it or not, but he makes the weirdest look.
Weird.
It's so weird. The animation is so strange.
Yeah. I think I feel like I've seen that.
It might have been in at least one episode, previous episode of the animated series. But it's the episode is worth watching in its entirety just to get the full impact of the face that Kirk makes at the end of this episode. And it's one of those classic TAS shots. The way it's composed is it has Spock's face, all half of Spock's face, all way up in the close-up frame. And then Kirk is behind him making a goofy-ass, dumb-ass face. It's funny, but I'm honestly a fan of a lot of the composition of shots in TAS, including the face up in the front. I would like to see somebody try to make that work in live action. I think it might be difficult, but there's something about that that's so intense and wild that TAS always has this like half the screen filled with half of a face all like zoomed up in front of the camera and then some other action going on in the background. Interesting choice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
All right. Any other points about this episode? Any odds and ends?
This isn't a point about the episode, but it just got me thinking again about the whole, because we know the transporter situation in Star Trek is kind of wishy-washy at times. I was thinking, and this is not the first time I've thought about this.
About how long it took to transport?
I was thinking about what is the point of the circular transporter pads? Because like at the end of this episode, they transport back and they're all just kind of laying across them. You know, like, and so maybe and that's happened plenty of times in Star Trek, but it's
not
like,
to mention they beam places that don't have
exactly
pads.
Precisely. So why do you,
which I have heard the supposed explanation for that. Now I think it's a fan made explanation, but it works as well as any, that yes, you can beam people anywhere and you can beam them up or down or whatever, but that beaming pad to pad just requires less like data compression.
Is that like dancing cheek to cheek?
Yeah, beaming is, we're gonna be beaming pad to pad.
It could
wow
be.
You got that reference.
I did.
What is that from?
It's from a thing.
It's a song.
I know that. That's why I brought
it. It's not from 76. It's not from the Music
it's
Man.
It's not from 76.
It's not
trombones.
76 trombones.
No, it's not.
In the Big Parade. 101 coronets on the something.
I've never seen The Music Man.
You should see The Music Man.
I've seen Guys and Dolls like 5 times, but I've never
fuck
seen The
Guys
Music
Man. Guys and Dolls. I know. I think Guys and Dolls is fine, but it's not The Music Man. The Music Man, just for, you know, you got trouble right here in River City. Like, that song alone. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. If you want to see a bunch of white people dancing around in a robotic motion, then The Music Man is a good option. All right. Well, anything else about this episode?
I will buy that about the data transfer thing. Sounds like, sure, why not? It's like definitely mind canon, but you know, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? That's
Maybe it's in the technical manual.
Maybe it's in the technical manual. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Excellent.
You asked me to make a song earlier. I did.
Working.
Yes. Okay.
Working. Working.
I think that covers most of the important bits.
Yes.
This week. But next week, what are we going to talk about next week? Well,
nobody knows.
We don't know yet.
No.
Because what we're going to
do. We'll never know.
I heard him.
So we're going to take this episode. And Dan has a proprietary method where he takes this episode and converts it through digital magic to
that
be,
way.
Yes.
That way. That
to,
way.
To a
that
file,
way,
transcribed
that
file
way,
that can be.
That way.
Can you make a song out of this?
That way. That yes, way. That, can that be, way. That way.
And
means
it'll be,
nothing. It'll be, I can tell the way.
This
that
is the way.
Way.
And that transcript of this episode will be fed into an algorithm, which then. Uses some sort of equation that Dan won't tell us about to that reviews all the.
It's just not a very good.
It has
one.
The full corpus of.
I don't think if he told us about it, we would understand what he was talking.
I think I tried. No, actually, wait. And thank you for bringing that up, Jesse. Patrick, you are
maybe
wrong.
Maybe you tried to do. You are. and we were like.
No, no. Thank you for reminding me, Jesse.
This is the day that Dan's been waiting for.
Patrick, you are wrong. I have tried to explain this
don't
before.
Don't spoil this for him.
No, I have explained this before, and like. Either people weren't listening or it was just a bunch of gobbledygook. Either way is fine. I'm not mad. You didn't have to listen. You didn't have to care. But don't ever say that I refuse. Don't say that I refuse to like tell you what it is because I know you're just being funny. So I'm not really mad.
That way.
I will happily explain it and I have in the past.
Okay. All right. So what I meant to say. was that Dan's algorithm scans all the scripts of Star Trek and compares them through comparators that are sort of a black box to us. And then it spits out a number, a priority list of episodes that we should discuss next.
Based upon the transcript. Yes. It really likes one particular episode.
And yeah, so be prepared. It's always suggesting that we discuss Deep Space Nine's past tense two-parter, which is interesting because we already discussed Deep Space Nine's past tense two-parter. I believe it was in episode 28 of the podcast.
There's nothing that would prevent it from suggesting an episode that we've already done before.
And we keep mentioning past tense every time we talk about the algorithm.
But and this is not a critique. This is a constructive criticism that I've had from the beginning that you could perhaps modify this program such that we could have flags and flag episodes that we had already discussed so that it doesn't come up. However, I think you have argued that it's still interesting. It's still interesting to hear what the thing suggests.
You're right.
If it's something we've done before.
I could very well add something that would not add something we've done twice. Although I will... It does rank them, so we can always go to the next one. But it is true that after many uses of this, we have to start remembering, have we done that episode already? So, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Who knows?
And you know how we would check? We could check on the It's Got Star Trek website.
Yeah, well done, Jesse. Well done.
Yeah.
Captain Segway.
But, right.
It's all the episodes.
My favorite is when it suggests the episode that you just listened to, because that means it's working, in my opinion. Now that
means it was paying attention.
Yeah, because it's like you used all the words that was in that episode and it suggested it right back to you. So you take the second one in that case.
Alternatively, we could just start using ChatGPT and just ask it which one we should do.
No, that's no fun.
Next time.
We could get ChatGPT to just do a podcast for us.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we could. Yeah, not have to. That would save us a lot of time.
It's more fun if like it comes from me, you guys. God.
Well, so it's possible that next week's episode will be a ChatGPT episode.
You could do it, and Dan and ChatGPT.
Yeah, both of us could. Well, who's going to come up with the episode? Me and ChatGPT?
The algorithm.
It was just you talking to ChatGPT.
It'll say it has no opinion or some shit like that.
No, I think if you ask it right.
Maybe that lab I could have done a better job.
But yes, Jesse, I think, was on the right track there. You can find out what we will end up watching by checking out our socials, as the children are fond of saying.
Is that something that people say?
Yes, they say the socials.
No, they don't.
As opposed to social media.
They call it like the
Isn't a social is like when you get together and have ice cream?
No, I was thinking, they're not talking about a sock hop. They're talking about like Twitter and stuff.
Don't they call it the Oshies or something like the socials?
A skosh. Just give me a skosh.
The socials isn't hip. It's got to be like one syllable.
Realistically, realistically,
skosh.
We don't know what they're saying. We only know a few generations.
Apparently, we're boomers.
No, we are not boomers.
No, I know we're not. I know we're not boomers. But that's what is often said about.
No,
boomer just means someone who's like.
That's just ignorant.
Boomer now is just really meant to mean anyone who's like not cool with the lingo, not hip to the.
Well,
jive.
That's not us.
I think the only thing
we're cool.
We are cool, but that's something like a boomer would say.
I think the only thing that
I know
the young
boomer
people...
a boomer. My mom was a boomer. I'm not a boomer.
No,
I think the only thing the young people could conceivably, justifiably have against our generation is that we had access to the old-fashioned 65-cent Slurpee. You know, you go to 7-Eleven, you get pay like 50 cents, and you get like a big old Slurpee.
We grew up with arcades. I'm sure they don't really care about the arcades.
Yeah, but not even. We were on like the tail end of arcades.
I remember going to arcades at Ballston Mall. Ballston Mall. Isn't that funny? Do you know what's near Ballston Mall? There's a field called Balls Crossing. I'm not even making it up. Bunch of Yanks go there. They go yank their balls. They go yank in Balls Crossing.
Okay. All right. I think we've provided the requisite amount of
And 7-Eleven when I was under 10, 7-Elevens used to have two arcade machines. I used to play them.
Yeah.
Now Dan's just making shit up.
But the kids don't give a shit. I don't think the kids
now
give
they
a
have gambling
next
machines.
Thing he's going to say Pizza Hut had Ms. Pac-Man tables.
Oh, did it ever. I think that the kids today don't really care about arcades, though, is the thing. But they might care about 65-cent Slurpee.
They got an arcade on their watch. Yeah. All right, yes.
I mean, arcades were fun, but it's better now.
That's
you know?
A fancy
I do phone. Miss arcades, but the only reason arcades aren't around is because it's like you don't really need them anymore.
Because they're creepy.
And you can't smoke indoors anymore.
yeah.
That's the only reason there's no arcades.
We knew one
anymore.
Of those strip mall arcades where the creepy dudes were like in the back by the pool tables.
Yeah. All right. So that was It's Got Star Trek for this week.
It had it.
Next it week, check our socials. No. At It's Got Star Trek on Twitter, Mastodon, Instagram. Find us on YouTube and subscribe
you,
there. Why not?
You.
I tell you true.
iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever, you know, Google Podcasts. We're on all that shit. So if you're listening here through some strange mechanism,
just figure
find
the
links.
Fuck out.
Yes, that's a good, yes, I agree with Jesse. Come on, you know, we're all adults here.
You know what's going
this
on.
This is not appropriate for kids, and if you're a kid, you've already figured out how to subscribe,
probably.
So you don't need the advice.
Yeah.
You don't need nothing!
You don't need
it's
nothing.
Like we didn't have to tell you.
But, yeah, you can go to the website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, or feedback@itsgotstartrek.com if you insist on writing an email.
Let me go!
Which we do welcome, but otherwise, yeah, get us on the social media. We'll see you there. All right, so we look forward to talking with you about Star Trek-y type stuff next week. Until then,
yes,
have a good one. Bye-bye.
Spock, that green blood of yours may have saved you before, but this time it almost did you in. You can't deny it.
I still prefer my physiological structure to yours.
Yes, gentlemen, things are back to normal. He's as stubborn as ever.